Tiger was charged with two citations, DUI and an improper parking. So he was already stopped when police approached on Military Trail, heading south, just south of Indian Creek Parkway. It also confirmed no alcohol involved, and that finally, Gary, arraignment has been set for July 5th.
That was Tim Rosenfort from the Golf Channel, and that was broadcast moments ago. He also tweeted out there was no alcohol involved in Tiger Woods' DUI arrest. We welcome to the show Eric Macromella, TSN legal analyst. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, guys. So, and he says there was no alcohol. I'm hearing this for the first time. No alcohol involved in the arrest. Does that mean that because Tiger didn't submit to the breathalyzer, they don't have evidence of that? But was there probable cause that he was intoxicated? Because I understood one of the reports suggesting that one of the officers smelled alcohol on his breath.
Well, how would you know, even if he didn't smell alcohol? I'm just playing logic here, and you tell me if this lines up to anything legally. How would anybody be able to make that pronouncement if he, unless you were A, with him through the entire evening, or B, had a breathalyzer result?
Yeah, I totally agree. That's why when I heard that statement, it didn't quite kind of jive or make some sense. The officers pulled him over because there was probable cause in their mind that he was intoxicated, because there were reports that the car was kind of swerving a bit on the road and he didn't have complete control of the car. So in order for an officer to pull over Tiger Woods, they have to have probable cause. Without that, you can't pull him over. And then you ask him to submit to the breathalyzer. And in the state of Florida, when you sign your driver's license, that's implied consent to submit to a breathalyzer, and he refused to do so. In retrospect, I think it's a really good move. We're starting to see legally what his strategy is. But I agree with you, Dave, that I'm not, without further evidence, I don't know how on earth you can declare that he wasn't intoxicated.
You say it was a good move. Explain.
It is a good, and I hate to say this because, you know, we're talking about on my own radio show offside. Nothing bugs me pretty much as DUIs. I just think it's complete irresponsible garbage. That aside, in the state of Florida, if you refuse to submit to a breathalyzer, it's not like in Ontario, for example, where you're deemed to have blown in excess of 0.08. All it means is, okay, number one, you now have a mandatory one-year suspension of your driver's license, but it's not automatic that you'll get a DUI conviction. You go to court, and Tiger's lawyers can make arguments that, look, he had not consumed any alcohol. And we're already seeing that argument because he said, quote, an unexpected reaction to prescribed medication. That's what Tiger said. I didn't realize the mix of medications had affected me so strongly. And the rest of his statements is a bunch of apologies.
So that's just
the key part of the statement.
So just to define this clearly, if this had happened in Ontario, Tiger Woods gets pulled over, please breathalyze, he says no. That is an automatic conviction of DUI. But in Florida, it is just a suspension of the license, and you're allowed to legally fight it.
That's right. And it's a mandatory one-year suspension. But if you do contest the DUI and Tiger is going to contest it, then that can also be reviewed, and he can get his driver's license back. That's why if you're in the state of Florida, and I hate to say this, lawyers are going to advise you, and I'm sure Tiger knew this all along because he's a celebrity, right? And they probably have these kinds of information sessions that if you're pulled over by the cops, do not submit to a breathalyzer. And look, when they go to court, the refusal to submit to the breathalyzer is admissible as evidence that he had a consciousness of guilt, that he knew he was over, and that's why he refused to blow. But the jury still has to buy that. And Tiger's argument to counter that is going to be, look, I have this back surgery. Everybody knows about it. I had, you know, vertebrae fused. I'm on meds. The meds kind of interacted in such a way that, I didn't have a clear mind. And for that reason, I was driving the way I was driving. So we are already seeing right now what his defense is.
Okay. So I have a whole bunch of questions here. And part of it goes to the reporting, because I don't believe the police released a statement yesterday. So most of it comes from TMZ, which people will laugh and say, well, TMZ. But, I mean, the truth is that TMZ is about the most reliable. From my experience, they seldom get it wrong. even though they have obviously the reputation of being, you know, of making everything sound really sexy. So the article in TMZ said that Woods, the officer smelled alcohol in Woods' breath. And at that point, Woods became arrogant. We're told the officer asked him to blow into a breathalyzer, but he refused. So I guess my question for you is, if Tim Rosefort is reporting that there was no alcohol involved, let's assume, okay, well, somehow he knows that. What's the DUI for, and how would you make that charge if there's no alcohol involved? How would you know that he was under the influence of prescription drugs?
Yeah, but when I hear, Michael, when I hear the statement, no alcohol involved, that to me is sort of a nebulous and ambiguous statement. I don't really know what that means. It can mean any number of things. The bottom line is, was he under the influence while he was driving? And they don't have now direct evidence that he was under the influence. So they're going to have to rely on circumstantial evidence. The way he was driving, the fact that he was pulled over at 3 o'clock in the morning, the fact that he was belligerent, you're kind of checking all the boxes as you're going. Ultimately, I think what's really going to be important here for Tiger Woods is how are jurors going to react to him. You know, I always talk about on my show this Important Persons Act, a statute that I made up. But if you're a celebrity and you're famous and you go before jurors, you sometimes, celebrity can sway jurors or even judges, like Judge Massapa in the Pistorius case or the jurors with O.J. Simpson. I mean, that was a more complicated case. I get it as a referendum on the LAPD. But jurors could react favorably to Tiger Woods. But again, this declaration that there was, quote, no alcohol involved, to me doesn't jive only because the officers pulled him over because they had probable cause. It could be that there was no bottle in the car, for example, right?
Right, but bottle in the car, as we know, is hardly relevant. I mean, if you got a bottle in the car and it's on your lap, I guess that would work against you. But the fact that there's the absence of a bottle wouldn't mean much.
No, but I guess, you know, it's sort of what Dave nailed it when he said that. How do you prove a negative? You cannot declare with any certainty that he had not consumed alcohol because he didn't submit to a breathalyzer.
Yeah, the lack of attribution for that statement in that report jumps out at me, like just as a reporter. Like if you're making that statement, according to whom is saying that, and how is that known? And it, just to be kind of throwing it out there as a blanket statement without any source or attribution to it seems
absolutely
weak.
And you know, until the police department, if they're going to hold a press conference,
say that,
then
sure,
we may learn more. Yeah. I mean, what we often see, guys, is in reporting is nuanced misinformation, or someone perhaps mistakenly believes that it is so when in fact it is not. And this may not be any different.
So is it possible, if you were defending Tiger, is it possible that the reporting perhaps was not accurate and that they didn't smell alcohol? So therefore, if they didn't smell alcohol, then there would have been no suggestion necessarily that he had been drinking. And if he reported to you as an officer, okay, well, you know, I'm taking prescription pills and I seem to be a little bit woozy from it. First of all, is that illegal? If in fact he says I was taking prescription medication, how does the law define whether that's legal or not? Because there's no legal limit and there was no test for it. So how would you prosecute that?
Yeah, I mean, those are all really good points. I mean, so driving under the influence is a very broad term and includes alcohol and also other drugs. So then it's up to his lawyers to say, well, look, these are pharmaceutical preparations. It's not marijuana. It's not cocaine. It's not heroin. That shouldn't fall under that class. Ultimately, his lawyers are going to take that position, Michael. But the police department is going to say, look, whether I smelled alcohol in his breath when I pulled him over or not, I pulled him over because it was 3 o'clock in the morning. This car seemed to be swerving from lane to lane. I had probable cause. So even if you don't smell alcohol on his breath, given the rest of the circumstances, you still have a reasonable basis to haul him to jail and to charge him with a DUI.
This is fascinating. We just have a few seconds left. You may have to return tomorrow because this story will probably develop over the course of the day. People usually assume, as most of us would because of the context, that DUI is driving under the influence of alcohol, but it's not that. So when they make that statement, I guess what they're saying is that there was something that was influencing him. Okay, we're out of time. I thank you for this, Eric, and this was my pre-booking for you for tomorrow.
No problem. DWI, driving while intoxicated. DWI captures everything, including a DWI. I hope that makes sense.
It does. Eric Macromilla, TSN legal analyst, and a lot of legal matters to go through there. We'll be watching it closely today.